Coming up on TMS, I have to dump ice on my head now.
How would you try and get out of a wedding?
Why is the earth farting?
The Rock is going to be all up in your DC movies.
Jackie Chan's son is a pothead.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning. Hold on. Stream.
I've been on my feet 6 hours. You know how I feel? I feel like dancing.
Sheer energy.
It makes me feel like dancing. It makes my legs feel that good. Sheer Energy pantyhose look terrific. And they stimulate, refresh, and massage my legs. So I really feel like dancing.
Try Sheer Energy, because nothing beats a great pair of legs.
In the snowboard clip loss.
The morning stream. The morning stream. The morning stream.
Beware of rabbits. They eat carrots. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's good to be here. It's The Morning Stream from Tuesday, August 19th, 2014. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Just as the show starts, just as the commercial break is playing, my chocolate lab comes and lays down right behind me.
Aww.
Right here on the floor right behind me.
That's adorable.
And has managed to stink up this section of the basement. Something fierce.
Did he toot? What happened?
Yeah, she just let one fly. It's, you know, the silent killer. Chocolate lab gas issue. It's well known. It's science.
Yeah, of course.
It's science.
Yeah, this is known. It is known. Well, that's good. When you want a dog who's comfortable to come, just take a... An air crap next to your leg.
Just right here. Just walked over, said, I'm full of gas. Here, let me lay down right behind you and just let one fly. Exactly. Thank you for that.
Did you hear the sad breaking news that Saturday Night Live's Don Pardo has died?
I did.
He's
really bummed me out because I love his voice and emulate him sometimes on this very show.
That's right. He is 96 years old, or was.
Was.
That's a long time, and I think he's been doing it since... I mean, he's been there the whole time and was still doing
77.
It.
Yeah.
I think he was still doing it.
It's there were a couple points at which Daryl Hammond stepped in and did the voice for him when he was sick.
Yeah.
But it was funny, like Daryl Hammond stepped in and did the Don Pardo voice. Daryl Hammond didn't come in and just do his own voice. And that's gonna be the weirdest thing when they come back in August or September when that show comes back on. You know, they change out people all the time. Yeah. New cast members, new hosts. It's always a different show. The stage seems, you know, always the same. But not hearing Don Pardo rattling through the list of names is going to be the weirdest part.
Yeah, that is strange because he really is iconic for the show in a way that's like if anything, they did themselves I'm glad they kept him, but they did themselves a disservice by having him for so long. Because now it's going to sound real weird. Like, you're not going to have the same tone in the opener that you normally have. Unless they get somebody in there who sounds just like him.
But if they, you know, that would have happened at any point that they changed performers. So.
Yeah. But I'm saying, if they had done it in the 80s, like when John Lovitz was rolling around the stage, they probably could have gotten away
Michael
with it.
Hall Robert Downey Jr. and Joan Cusack.
Yeah. When Randy Quaid is eating
the
tinfoil.
Ebersole. Maybe some of the Ebersole years have somebody else come in and do it.
Yeah.
I don't know who you get to do it now. If you go with a name or a recognizable voice, or if you just have somebody brand new come on, or if you have somebody come on and try and, I think you do a disservice. I think you insult the legacy of Don Pardo if you have somebody come on and try and do the Don Pardo voice.
What's Frank Caliendo doing? You know, the guy's got talent. Just have him come in there and do it.
That's right. Sure.
He can do any voice he wants to do. I found a little video here. I don't know what this is. So I'm playing it raw. Oh, some intros here.
It's Saturday Night Live.
We want to wish a very happy 95th birthday to our friend Don Pardo, longtime voice.
All right, it's Brian Williams.
Brian
there.
Williams, who always sounds so labored and pained to be there.
The news is rough tonight in America.
Breaking news out of Orlando. Mickey Mouse is gay.
Found in a pool of his own vomit.
I'm tired and I don't want to read the news anymore.
My daughter's naked on that girl show. I'm very frustrated. Anyway, that's too bad.
What, that's his daughter on...
Yeah, one of them.
Oh, that's funny.
Brian Williams. What's her name? Brian Williams' daughter. I'm trying to remember her name so you know it. I've seen so little of the show.
I know it's not Zosla Mamet or whatever her name is.
No, it's Allison Williams, and she plays... Huh. Hold on.
Is she the Samantha or the...
she plays the... Oh, gosh, I can't find it. Here we go. She's the one that had the... Oh, here we go. Girls TV show. IMDb. Okay, here we go, everybody. Hold tight.
Oh, there she is right there. Oh, she's lovely.
She's Marnie Michaels in that show.
Okay, yeah, that doesn't help me. I've never seen a single
episode.
She's
very pretty, though. She is. Beautiful.
She's quote-unquote the pretty one.
Yeah. She kind of is. Oh, that's right, because the rest of them are kind of... whatever.
Jemima Kirk is cute.
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, whatever. You show me somebody on Eastbound and Down who's good-looking, and I'll buy a hamburger, because nobody exists on that show who is. So, you know, this isn't just
a... By the way...
Yeah.
Since we're on this television this show tangent, discussion, yeah, can I say how awesome True Detective is?
Oh! Have we finally cracked it open? Have we?
We started binge watching it last week. I don't know if you call it binge watching because it's eight episodes, yeah. And we're only at episode six.
Okay, so you're doing like an episode a night or something?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And
I think that's a good way to do it. Isn't it amazing?
It is really amazing, and everybody on that show is just fantastic.
No, there's no wasted anyone. There's nobody phoning it in.
Fantastic. Yeah. Woody Harrelson's great.
Yeah.
Bridget Moynihan.
Yeah, she's great.
She's fantastic.
I always like her anyway, but yeah. She's great in this. Yeah, no, dude, that show. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Freaking McConaughey. In my mind, nobody put in better work than that in that show. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh my
gosh. He's not just all right in that show.
Yeah.
He's all right.
He's three all rights. Oh my gosh. Well, we've really done it now. Okay. Well, anyway, so all the Michelle Williams and the Dom Pardos aside.
Yes.
Why don't we, you that is to say you and I, discuss something that's been very popular on the internet lately.
Cat videos?
Cat videos, horse porn, and Allison Williams. No, none of those things. The thing I wanted to talk to you about is specifically this ice bucket ALS awareness deal. So we talked a tiny bit about it yesterday because Ice Worm was threatening, you know, to challenge people on the internet while we were doing the show and all that.
Right. Well, he even tweeted some photos of doing it.
And he's too late because I got challenged before he did anything with my name in it. Now, here's the deal. I wasn't even aware of this thing. I guess I am now, and that the awareness worked. But until I saw a friend of the network, Kurt Schilling, dumping ice on his son's head in a video on Instagram and going, oh, what's this? And Kurt has been a longtime supporter of causes to help eradicate ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And so he's, you know, that's no surprise that he would be all up in this. And I saw that and went, oh, that's interesting. I guess I better look up what's going on. So I looked up the origin of it. Oh, you got to be challenged by somebody right before you do yours. And then that person either has to take the big dump of ice and cold water or they have to pay the $100, right? There's this deal.
Right. Or whatever you want to do. Sure. I don't think it has to be 100.
Yeah. No, I think that's the low end, but you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Or the recommended, whatever. So, but it took off. Like, it's this huge viral thing, and like all these like celebrities and famous people started doing it. And there's this huge list of significant people who've done it now. And they range from Justin Timberlake to Gwen Stefani to, I don't know, a huge list of famous folk, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So, but then everybody and their dog's doing it, and it's really taken off. So I'm starting, but you're starting to see that thing that happens on the internet where people start going, oh, we still doing that? Is that still a thing? Even though, you know, it's been going on for maybe a week or two. Right. That's such a compressed timeline to them. It seems like years. And so everyone's like, oh, yeah, great. Everyone's on the bandwagon. So there's already the hipster outcry happening on the internet right now about it. Nonetheless, and notwithstanding, I get in a video yesterday via Instagram with my sister-in-law being filmed by my brother-in-law, Steve. And this is Kim's sister, Sarah. Mm-hmm. And this is how that went. I'm going to play a little clip here. All right.
Okay. All right.
This is how that went. see if you can hear my name in here.
Oh, I'm calling out Scott Johnson, Eric Montague, Jenny Sant, and Heidi Gunnell.
So, two things. One, I don't know who those other people are. Two, I've never heard her scream like that ever. In the many years I've known Sarah, that's the first time I've heard her yelp like a scared child. Right. So congratulations to her for taking it. Her boys, by the way, are two sons, little 8-year-old and an 11-year-old dumped that on her, which was funny to watch because the look on their face was like, we'll never get to do this again. So enjoy right. it. Anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and do it. It'll be today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have Kimmel film it while probably Nick and Carter dump it. And I'll put the video up online. Now, the question is, how do you determine who to challenge? And I know some people are getting sick of it, but I'm into communal experiences online.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think it brings us closer together. If you want to be a dick about it and go, bleh, like I need to be made more aware of ALS anyway. This is so stupid. Go away, because this is just good, clean fun.
It's funny because this for something that's usually beneficial, there is so much controversy about, you know, will these rich people, Steve-O from Jackass, big thanks to Kaleri for reminding me of this, but Steve-O said, you know, all right, we've had however many videos done, and only $15 million has been raised, and that's a tragedy because he says, it's tragic because I don't believe one of those celebrities even bothered to share the slightest clue about how or where to donate money for ALS research. He says that Charlie Sheen and Bill Gates were the only ones who even hinted that the entire point is to donate money.
Charlie Sheen and Bill Gates.
Of all people. Yeah. there's a pair of people who've never been mentioned in the same sentence before.
That's like saying Satan and Lucifer were the only two who decided to blah, blah, blah. Look,
it is funny because none of those videos say go to ALSA.org and donate. You know, everyone just says, all right, I'm doing this. Blah, okay, I'm calling out these people.
I meant Jesus and Lucifer is what I meant to say. But here's the thing, though. They don't have... There's never been a bigger there's never been this much money for ALS generated before. Mm-hmm. So Steve-O's right. I agree with him. There should be more in the way of like, hey, you guys, you need to whatever, whatever. But I feel like the part of the problem is when you get dumped with that ice and stuff, you're not in your frame of mind and you've got, you know, a 15-second Instagram video or a tiny YouTube thing to do and you're forgetting everything. You're not saying anything and you should be.
Sure.
So my goal would be to do that. We're also going to donate, so we're doing both. I think that's what most people should do, especially these celebrities, dude.
Sure. Yeah.
Slackers. But to scoff at 15 million made in like a week and a half is kind of irritating.
It is. Like, that's $15 million that maybe wouldn't have gotten donated otherwise.
I'm pretty sure would not have been donated. So I think it's, you know, however you get there, you get there.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Steve-O has taken up the soapbox of reason. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, while we are introspective about our decisions and our country and our state of mind as human beings together, we ask Steve-O to please step forward and shed his great wisdom upon us. It's Steve-O.
Of all people, that's who our great emancipator is on this topic.
The guy who last I saw was being shot into the air, slingshot into the air inside of an outhouse full of poo. So take that for what you want.
Right. No, Ice Worm is reminding us that he did call us out. Well, you were saying you got called out before.
Yeah, I got it first. So you may still have to. He may be the one you have to answer.
I'll still answer Ice Worm's challenge for sure.
Schleicher was going to do it, or he was asking me if we'd been challenged yet. When he asked me, I said no, but that was right before I got it. Mm-hmm. So now Schleicher's not going to have me to do it. I don't know if he's still going to try to do you. But that's the funny bit is now that everybody's wanting to do this, we're scrambling to get each other.
Right.
And I don't know who to challenge.
Yeah, that is the thing. I mean, who else in our tadpole can we call out?
I can call out.
And who we feel comfortable about calling out?
That's the thing. Like, I don't want to do Veronica because you want to let the Wookiee win, right? You want to make her, want to keep her happy.
Listen, I've ticked off Veronica enough for 2014.
Your quota is full.
My quota is full. I have accomplished all I set out to do and more.
I don't, that's the thing. I really don't know who to, who to do here. So I gotta think about this and who's the, like you kind of wanted to be a good sport about it, you know, and I don't want to, I don't want to make people do something they don't want to do. You know, I don't know.
It's and, there was rumor yesterday, and I have to find out if Cleo was really serious about this, but, rumor that, she was going to send me a coconut bra and a grass skirt to wear for my ice bucket challenge. But I don't know if that's, if she was just joshing.
Great. Merciful Lord, dude. Wow. Yeah.
Hey, I'll do it.
You should do that. That would be amazing. You know, this has to be videotaped, right? That's the part of the
course.
Deal.
Yeah, okay. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't.
All right. I'm in. I'm in on your coconut bra deal. She has a coconut bra and a grass skirt laying around? That's crazy.
I don't know. I think she was looking. She was going to, she said something about going to her husband's work and getting some. So I don't know.
She's got the Kmart Marianne collection.
Yeah, she's okay. She's confirming it. So yes, she is procuring a coconut bra and grass skirt for my ice bucket challenge.
All right.
So I'm in. I'm in, Cleo.
Here's the thing. Even if you don't know where that coconut bra has been.
Oh.
You'll at least know where it's been after.
I think I'll be the one who fouls that. You know, no matter where it's been, it hasn't been anywhere worse than on me.
Nope.
So
I am with you on this.
All right. And Joey Image, by the way, is saying that he hasn't been challenged yet. So I think that's a.
Oh, Joey would totally be a good challenge, right?
Yeah. So throw that in your list of. Does it have to be five? It can just be like two or three, right?
I think it has to. I think it'd be just two or three. Yeah. It can even be one. I mean, some people that's call true. Out more than that, but I think it doesn't matter too much. I mean, it's just a pay it forward kind of thing.
Sure, sure.
Joey's a pro wrestler, man. He knows how to take a hit. Yeah.
All right. So throw Joey into your call out list for
okay.
sure.
All right. I'll put him in a chokehold of some sort, and then
one of us will call out Daryl. I mean, if he's so eager to do the Sprite and Banana Challenge, then he'll do this.
Maybe
so
you do it at the same time. Eat the bananas, do the Sprite, and then get dumped on at the same time.
That's right. What about the Night Attack folks? Somebody has to have called them out, right?
You'd think somebody had called Jury out by now.
But if not, then I say maybe you know, we do have something else coming, some sort of challenge.
No, we do.
With the Night Attack folks that I think you and I may have won.
We got to remind him today.
We will.
Because I feel like they didn't respond to the tweets. I feel like there's a little bit of a brushing off going on. We're holding them to account, folks.
Is it over, or are there any last movies that, you know, Sin City isn't part of this deal, right? Like nobody's got.
Oh, I think it might be actually. But I don't think anyone who matters owns it. By that, I mean someone who's even in contention.
Yeah.
Or that would push them ahead of us. In fact, I guess what I'm trying to say is they don't own it. So even if it was in the group, I don't think
it's. I'm pulling up the list here. Yeah, Team TMS, we right now, we're in second place. Team Night Attack is in fourth place. Almost 100 million behind us.
That's all? Oh, it's nothing, guys. Maybe Transformers can do it. I think you found a Transformer.
Looks like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the last movie in the business. So
that's prophetic. What you just said is about the industry. It very well could be the last movie of the business.
That was what they had all their eggs riding on, and that just was not enough to push them over the edge. Yeah, so.
That's nice going, guys. Good pick. Here's the deal. I expected us to be way lower on that list than second. I'm super happy with where we ended up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
you know, it did. It was
strong.
Set. Jump Street really helped us. Yep. Neighbors was a huge dark horse, right? We bought that for some reason. We bought that business for 17.
Yeah, how did we? How did we end up spending that on that? But I'm glad we did.
Yeah.
And then what was the other? Apes did well for us, and Godzilla.
Yeah, we didn't have apes. I'm telling you.
I thought we had apes.
Team Amtrekker had apes.
Oh, those guys can bite.
And that did really well for them, yes.
What am I thinking of then? Oh, we had Godzilla and something else.
We had Draft Day, Neighbors, Godzilla, 22 Jump Street, Planes, Fire and Rescue, and Get On Up.
All right, guess what two movies on that list I'm actually kind of want to see. Guess which two.
Oh, that you haven't seen yet?
Yeah. I want that I'm actually really interested in seeing.
I know out of that list, the only one you've seen is Godzilla.
Yeah.
Am I right?
That's totally true. Yep. That's it.
I bet you're excited to see Neighbors and 22 Jump Street.
Incorrect. Okay. You, in fact, you're so incorrect.
Both wrong.
I should play this. Well, I do want to see those, but they're not.
But those aren't the top. So Get On Up and Draft Day?
Yeah, Draft Day and Get On Up. They both draft day was highly regarded. People really liked it. Thought it was great. Yeah. And it's I love me some Costner. So I didn't see it in the theater.
Should have made the Costner connection.
Yeah, I love that. So I'll totally see that. And then the Get On Up was reported to be pretty good. And I like historical crap and biopic music stuff like that. What was the one with the hair lip?
Walk the line.
I loved Walk the Line.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call him hair lip.
Oh, no, you did. Of course
Joaquin
did.
Phoenix. Sorry. Yes. An actor I quite like.
Yeah, no, I do too.
Yeah, he's great. But yeah, the whole, yeah, that interests me. So I'm going to see both those at some point, you know, on DVD or Blu-ray or, you know, rental or whatever. Oh, right. One last thing here. We watched the first time for the kids. We watched Dead Poets Society last night. We rented it, Brian.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
That movie holds up. And I'll tell you what holds up the most. Some of the kids' performances, they're all right.
Right.
A little over the top, whatever. Red from that 70s show is kind of so red.
Kurtwood Smith.
Yeah, that he's kind of just hard to not. I mean, I like him, but he's just that guy that it's hard for me to just take him as anything other than just that's who he is, you know?
Sure.
But whatever, he's fine. It's Ethan Hawke is really good in that movie. Like genuinely good in that movie.
Josh
and still
Charles
good
is in there.
Mm-hmm. Ethan Hawke really blew my mind, and I'd seen it a million times, and I saw it in the theater when it came out, and a hugely inspirational film for me generally, and I've always highly regarded it, and Robin Williams is great, but that is Ethan Hawke's film. He's fan-freaking-tastic in it, and he holds up. His performance of all of them feels fresh and relevant and believable and just totally kind of nailed it.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd recommend seeing it again. It's really, really good. We're going to watch Awakenings later this week with the kids.
Oh, cool.
And they loved
Fisher
it.
Fisher King is definitely on our list of movies to watch with Tristan.
Yeah, we got the Fisher King. We're going to watch The Birdcage. We got ideas, but we're starting with the ones that have the most, I think, the most impact. And that would, for me, that's Dead Poets and Awakenings. And then we kind of go from there. So anyway.
Gonna skip the Patch Adams?
My kids have seen it, so they don't. Okay. I think we don't care as much. This is all about sort of, hey, dad and mom sharing important films with the children kind of stuff that they haven't seen already. I mean, we may see Flubber. They never saw that.
Oh,
I don't think that was great, but it was fine. Probably have to watch. Maybe I'll do the hook watching with them for FilmSack. I don't know.
Oh, do we have that on the list?
Remember Randy was trying to talk us into it on Sunday. Remember that?
We do need to see. Yeah, it would be that would be the one to watch too.
Yeah, when Machete was trying to talk.
That's one of your actually. That's one of your least favorites, right?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Good. Then yeah, we
not
should do
not
it.
Least favorite Robin Williams movies. It's one of my
least favorite movies of
all
time.
It's just below or just above Crystal Skull as far as Spielberg movies go for me.
Is it your Minority Report?
It is for me. If we're saying which Spielberg movie is my Minority Report,
yeah,
it's Crystal Skull is still that. I mean, if we're looking at it from like disdain point of view, right? From like the way Dunaway looks at Minority Report,
right?
But right above that is Hook, and then everything else is fine. I like just about every other Spielberg thing ever made. You know what I really like? I like Always. Remember that?
Oh yeah, that was great.
Yeah, great movie.
With John Goodman and was it Dreyfuss?
Yep, Richard Dreyfuss and Holly Hunter. I almost said Molly.
Oh, that was so good. Such a cool little sci-fi twist on the rom-com.
Yeah. Really well done. It's an amazing little film. I love Empire of the Sun. I love everything. All his weird offshooters that nobody saw, those are great. All the mainstream stuff's great. And something happened with Crystal Skull and we all wanted to
die. You can probably skip Batteries Not Included.
I don't think he directed that, though. I think that was a production.
Just showed it or produced it or something.
Yeah, it was an Amblin Entertainment deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that movie's not good. Although it does have Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy. America's Sweethearts.
That's right. Yes, exactly. And by Morningwood points out, hey, there's all that water in Hook. What does it mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? Freaking Hook water.
Nice.
All right. Nicely done. Let's get Daryl all up in here.
Sounds good.
We're going to challenge him to his Twinkie deal. Not Twinkie. What's his thing?
Bananas and Sprite.
Yeah. Bananas and Sprite.
That seems like that just seems so weird.
Dude, it doesn't just seem weird. It freaking is weird. There's no question.
Plantains and Sierra Mist.
Yum.
Is the
That's the name of this segment. Join us now for Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
The Boop Show. Available every Monday and Thursday at frogpants.com/boop, B-O-O-P.
Put one up yesterday. Daryl, are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Listen, hello. This whole Sprite and banana deal, we got to do this. But the way that we have to do it, it can't be like a live thing you do here because, A, you're in the office, and if you explode, we don't want that.
Yeah.
Also, we can't film it because you're in the office. So I think this is a thing you need to have your wife or one of your kids or somebody film you on your iPhone so that we have some sort of definitive proof that you did it.
Well, I have a thought on that.
Okay, what do you got?
What about during a TMSPM? We have them on the very beginning of TMSPM, starting the challenge.
All right.
We do the show, do our music, Twitter posts, all that, and then come back to him after he's had the 2-liter bottle and bananas.
Totally cool to do that. I think that's a good idea.
Then it's later in the day.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you home? I guess you're probably still not home by the time we do the TMSPM, are you?
Yeah. I'm there. Okay. I'm usually in the tadpool.
Okay. Oh, okay. So cool. If we start at 5:30, which is 4:30 your time, and we pull you in early, how about this week even? How about this Thursday?
Okay.
Look at the challenges going
out.
Can
you do it? Can you do it?
Can you do it? You're locking it in?
I can do it.
Okay.
It is locked.
All right. Well, then I am looking forward to that. I can tell you that much. That much I know.
To answer your Twitter question, Daryl, yes. In order for the ALS challenge to happen, it has to be called out in a video with somebody else doing the ALS challenge. So
yeah.
You can't do it. We can't do it over Skype or Twitter or Facebook.
Bull hockey.
Exactly.
Okay. Daryl, let's do this thing. Let's do it. This is a question for you, Star Trek related. You're the Trek nerd. You answer trivia questions on the show. So far this week, you're nailing it. Well, one day, but you got it yesterday. Nice job. This week is a little more traditional in terms of how we do the question, and it goes something like this. In the Next Generation episode, The Nth Degree.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorites.
Oh, good. Well, then you might do well here. Skeletor and Barclay are in a play together. Sorry. They're having a play date. No, they're in a play together. After the play, Skeletor, a.k.a. Dr. Crusher, is talking to her homies in the audience. Oh, man, Mike's on one today. She tells one crew member that she has an opening in her theater workshop. Who does she tell about this opening? Was it A, Command?
Who does Dr. Crusher talk to about her opening?
Yeah, there you go. Whoa, what? Wait, back up. Gross. Commander Riker is A, B, Worf, C, Geordi LaForge, or D, Data. So A, Riker, B, Worf, C, LaForge, or Geordi, rather, and D, Data. Sounds pretty good to me. Now, while you think on that real hard, hold on, where's the damn thing? All right.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
So we still have that box, you know, with the Danish thing in it.
There's still one thing in there, too, that's not salted licorice.
Yeah, right? What is the salt? Is the salt licorids? Did you guys get that little box, the spunk ones?
Yeah.
I don't trust that at all. Because the lacrids makes it sound like licorice.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I just pulled my headphones out.
It's going to be...
Hold on.
That's going to be salted licorice.
There we go.
Nibs or something.
Yeah, I don't know if we should do those yet.
Salt lacrids.
I think we save that. Let's do instead the little... Did you guys get the little half egg? The Tom's half
egg?
It's
a little turtle, right?
Like a little turtle, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that one. Oh, I see. It is a turtle. Yeah, it's straight up a turtle shell. All right, great. What is it supposed to be?
It says Skill Patty on the bottom.
Skill Patty. Nice. I like that. Okay, I'm opening. Oh, look, inside it's a turtle as well. Ooh, mine's sweaty.
Sweaty turtle? Really?
Yeah, it's a little like it's got condensation on it.
Huh.
I don't know why.
Mine's perfectly fine.
By the way, did anybody else's electric bill skyrocket in July because of the heat, like with like air conditioning and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Ours was off the hook, man. I don't know what
happened. We don't have air conditioning.
In June,
this is your first July in the new house too. So
yeah, well, in June, it was still lower than our old house because our old house was ridiculously inefficient with that stuff. But
oh wow,
it was June was nothing. June was like the cheapest month ever, and then suddenly July was just out of control. I don't know what happened there. Anyway, something I noticed this morning. Domestic trouble. You know how it goes. All right, turtle. Let's bite the turtle. Tail or head? Actually, what's the damn difference? This thing's got two heads.
I don't see, yeah, basically, or two tails. I don't see any faces, so.
All right.
It's symmetrical.
Let's give it a shot. I don't know what's in this, so.
Caramel.
Oh, that's actually kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is good.
Mm. It's got a little bit of the Cadbury cream egg kind of stuff in it.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations on that one, guys. That's a good one.
That's a winner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's two different kinds of cream in there.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy this while you can, because next up.
Yeah, we're either doing Spunk or the salted licorice stick.
Her Skeshkel. Yeah, and that one says salt lacrids, so it's got to be licorice. Oh, gosh. Have you noticed, have you seen that, the Slim Jim looking one? The inside is brown. You see that?
The long one?
Yeah, the skinny, the Slim Jim one.
The inside is brown. Oh, I see, because it looks like a...
like a filling.
A stuffed licorice, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yep, and that's also salt licorice.
Don't like where that's going.
So basically, how about tomorrow we do both of those, since they're both going to be...
Yeah, both just as bad.
Let's just pull off the Band-Aid all at once.
Agreed. Maybe that inside is...
fragrant liquid and powder.
Probably not, though.
No, probably not.
No, unlikely. All right, Daryl, birthdays today? We got any?
Oh, we have kind of a major one. That would be Gene Roddenberry.
Oh, kind of.
He's important.
Yeah.
he's tied to Star Trek in some important way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a fine fellow. Well, how old would he have been had he survived?
He would have been 93.
Wow. Hmm. He would have been three years younger than Don Pardo. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always wonder, these guys that live to be 96, they usually just die in their sleep, you know? I want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I want to have great grandkids, you know, a throng of them. I want this huge throng of family. I want it to be rad all the time. And then one day I'm just going to, in the sleep, just poop, I'm out. And I want my wife to go, well, he was here a long time. He just and so happy he went peacefully. And then she'll slip out about 6 months later, just quietly in her sleep. This is how you want it to be.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to be in the throes of brain cancer or something terrible before I die.
He died the way he lived, sleeping on the couch.
That's right, watching his programs.
Do you ever die in your sleep, though, or do you wake up first for about 5 seconds, say, uh-oh, and then you die?
Oh, God.
I don't know. I'm sure some do. I'm sure somebody does. Like, I remember my mom telling me that, like, even in my dad's case, where he died of a heart attack, but just before it, he thought for like an hour before or so, he just thought he didn't feel well, you know, like he was like, I don't feel very good. And he thought he's just like indigestion or something. Turned out to be a heart attack. So I'm sure there, you know, different deaths bring different experiences, but there's bound to be somebody out there who they say died in his sleep, but really he woke up at 3 and went, what? And then died.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know why.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
No.
No, but it'd still be okay.
I woke up this morning. Kim says I woke up at like 4 and just jerked, just like went, rah, made a sound and stuff at like 4 o'clock. And she doesn't, I don't remember it, but she said I yelled something and I must have had some nightmare.
Fart gas. Explosive death.
All my anomalous phrases come out at night. All right. So where are we? Oh, happy birthday, Gene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
May you ever. Did he get sprinkled in the stars or something weird like that? He did? Okay.
Yeah.
Ashes taken into space.
Not all of them, but just a little sample. Yeah.
What'd they do with the rest?
I think they're at a cemetery in Hollywood somewhere.
Oh, all right. Well, I've told you guys what I want to do. I've told my kids this too, and they say they're going to do it. I want my ashes ground up. Well, they'll be ground up because they're ashes already, but I want my ashes mixed in with brownie mix and served to old people at an old folks' home. I think I've mentioned on the show before.
Why old people? Like, why not?
Totally just old people.
If you want your legacy to continue on in the bellies of somebody, you know, give it to kids.
Yeah, but it'll never be a permanent part of them. They're just going to pass it later. I figure the old people are all constipated. It'll stay there longer.
I'll probably be old by then. It might be me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I just want an easily foolable group. I want a group that's easily fooled. That's all.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, these brownies are just lovely. I love Thursday brownie nights.
These brownies taste a little burnt to me.
They're all gritty.
They're a little chalky. What's going on?
There's a tooth in this one.
I'm into that. Anyway, all right, back to the question. So this next-gen episode, this nth degree deal here, you got Skeletor and Barkley hanging out, and she tells somebody about the opening of her play. Of her play is the operative word there. Mm-hmm. Commander Riker, Worf, LaForge, or Data, what say you, Daryl?
Well, I thought this episode was so good that I don't remember the little things like this.
Mm.
So I'm going to have to kind of guess. My first thought is Data, because why would you... Wasn't this like to have him go to an acting class or
it
something?
It seemed like there was something where Data... I don't know if it was... Was it this episode where he was tapping into his acting thing or, you know, trying to be more human or whatever? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, I guess I'll say Data. But okay. It could have been Geordi. Or Worf or Riker.
Yeah, it could have been.
It could have been one of those four.
Could have been any of those.
Definitely was one of those four if we put a fine point on it.
But you say Data is what you're saying.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I should change it.
You can do whatever you want.
Want to come to my acting class, Worf? No, I am not an acting man.
I like that you're going
to... Acting is without honor.
You're going to pantomime through each of these. All right, what would Riker say? Riker would say, do I get to play the trombone and walk around sideways? No.
Yeah, that is.
Will there be lots of ladies there?
Yeah, will there be some ladies? I've got my beard.
I don't
now.
Think it's Riker. I'm going to cross that out.
All right.
That's probably the right answer, but I'm crossing it out anyway.
All right.
Okay, Geordi. What would Geordi say? I don't know.
Dr. Crusher, I've got to get back to engineering, and it's in a book. Reading Rainbow. Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think I'll stay with Data, even if maybe it's wrong.
Yelling, I am not Toby, I am Kunta Kinte. Remember that? Remember that when he was yelling that? I remember that.
Sure.
He was pivotal in that Roots story there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went, didn't he have a cocaine habit after that? Or something like that.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. LeVar, hold on. Burton, drugs. Here you go. He had a real rough period. Where is it? Explains for somewhere in here. I swear there was some period there. What? No. Oh, whatever. I can't find it now. Anyway, there was some, he had some cocaine deal or something, it was a real brief thing, but it was after Roots and stuff wasn't working out. It was before all the cool stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, here it is. Okay. Personal life. Ah, damn it. It's not here.
I'm there.
Here we go. Okay. Personal life. Makeup artist has a daughter, I can't find it. I swear this is true though.
I
don't want to besmirch him if I'm wrong, but I swear
sure,
this is
yeah.
something.
Call him out for a drug habit he didn't even have.
Yeah, because I really like LeVar Burton, but I don't know where I heard that somewhere. Okay, doesn't
Maybe
matter.
That was Tim Burton.
Tim Burton, yeah, him and his horrible drug habit. It's called every movie he made. all right, so you've crossed Riker, you crossed Worf, you've crossed Geordi. Are you crossing Data?
Yeah, I'll just cross all of them off.
I guess you have to. I guess I mean, are you picking Data now that I think about it?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'll stay with Data, I guess.
All right, staying with Data. Is it Data?
You gave me every chance to get out of it.
We sure did. She tells Worf she has an opening in her workshop. He wisely just ignores her. Here's a clip of them after the play and her telling Worf about the opening. So here you go, right here.
Good job, Reg. And only, what, 6 weeks for the lessons?
Good job, period.
We have a patient teacher.
Worf, I have an opening in my workshop.
And that's it. He just ignores her. All right. Great. Nice. It's without honor, clearly. It's without
ignoring
honor.
You is with honor. There is much honor in ignoring you.
There is much
you.
Honor in ignoring everything you say.
That's great. Daryl, well done. And not really. That was bad. And tomorrow you get to do it again, though. And so the week is salvageable. Don't worry about that. You are going to now play a little game with us that has this theme to it. All right, lay it on me.
Star Trek drug or actual drug?
Ooh, drugs. Back on the drugs. Okay.
Leporazine.
Leporazine.
Oh, leprazine.
Leprazine. That's a real leprazine. Drug.
That's a real drug.
Yeah, that's a real drug. One won't make me sick.
Leprazine.
One that won't it cost is? Too much. Or smell like a stick. How'd it go at the end of that song here?
Make you feel 3 feet thick.
3 feet thick. Gosh, dang it. Yeah. That's a hard... They blew it with that. They got to change
it. Yeah, they could have done something. Make me feel like a stick would have been so much better.
I agree. All right. So, yeah,
we're saying
drug.
We're saying leprazine is real.
So I'm verifying here on the air here.
Okay.
Because
well, that seems really efficient.
I don't
efficient.
Think it is a real one, but it for sure is a drug given to Worf for breathing difficulties.
Really?
I'm pretty sure yes. That's a real drug, though.
I've heard of leprazine. It. What's the spelling?
Leprazine.
Hold on. Leprazine.
Leprazine. Yeah, it's only coming up as Star Trek stuff, so.
Oh, you must be right.
Yep.
Yeah. Damn it.
It's fake.
You nailed it, dude. You killed us. We both were 100% yeah. sure on that. Now go buy totally. Your Sprite and bananas, you bastard. Jeez, let's get on there.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Ooh, it's the news, and it's brought to you by
The Hero Movie Podcast, a weekly podcast focusing exclusively on comic book and superhero movies, brought to you by a film school graduate, an art director, and an amateur comic book historian. Find it at heromoviepodcast.com or simply Hero Movie Podcast, wherever you find podcasts. Slipped in a little bit of movie phone there.
Yeah, I like it.
Why don't you just tell me the name of the podcast that you'd like to listen to?
So a film school graduate, an art director, and an amateur comic book historian walk into a bar. That's what that right. sounded like to me.
But see, we don't know. That could be one person. He could be a film school graduate who's an art director and an amateur comic book historian. Or it could be three people.
Yeah, we don't know.
It could be two people.
Yeah, there's lack of clarity here. I don't know. Tucker Blandford. Tucker Blandford, everybody.
Tucker Blandford.
Faked death in order to avoid his wedding. His or her? Hold on. It must be a dude, right?
Her, actually. Is oh, it yeah. It's a him.
Okay.
I misread that opening line.
August 15th would have been Alex Lancaster's wedding day if her fiancé hadn't faked his own death.
The wedding of Tucker Blandford yes. and Alex Lancaster.
Welcome. Lancaster, age 23, of the United Kingdom. I love that. Is that how you'd say that?
In the United Kingdom?
It says of the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
That's like saying, I understand in.
Of the United States? Wouldn't you say?
No, you wouldn't say Brian Ibbett of the United States. That seems
well,
weird.
Okay. Yes, got it.
But if you said in the United States or from the United States, either of those work.
Well,
of.
Scott Johnson of Utah.
That's terrible. Scott Johnson from or in Utah would work. Of the Utah is what you'd say. Reportedly met Tucker Blandford, also 23, in August of 2012 when they attended college in Connecticut. The two fell in love. He was such a gentleman. He showered me with jewelry. Is that what they call it now? We would go out for a posh dinner in the 10th of every month and celebrate the day we got together, Lancaster said, according to the Mirror. I've been in love like that before. I've never been in love like that before. I met his family, and they treated me like a daughter. His mom and I became so close. Lancaster feared their good thing would come to an end when she returned home, so when Blandford proposed marriage, she was eager to say yes. Jump ahead, he faked his death to get out of it. That's a sad piece of business.
So how did he fake his death? And number two, how'd she find out about it? Like, did he?
Well, here I'll explain. Hold on. Here we go. They started planning their wedding. Spent money on the dress, all the invitations, flights for Blandford, blah blah blah. So you can see her in the UK. He's an American dude. All right.
Okay.
She's the British one.
Okay.
She told Tucker, deeply depressed, wanted to die, had thrown himself in front of a car. Oh yeah, that's here we go. So it was his dad. His dad, Blandford's dad.
His dad called.
He called and said, "Hey, he threw himself in front of a car and killed himself." So the dad helped. The man explained that they had been trying to send Tucker off psychiatric unit for help, but was too late. He couldn't breathe and was obviously devastating. He got off the phone emotionally shattered, but things looked turned weird when she called the family back a short time later. Blandford's mom answered the phone, had no clue that her son had died. In fact, he was alive and well. She said,
so if you're going to fake your own death to your fiance in another country, make sure to tell both your parents in case she calls back.
Yep, that's ridiculous. She said Tucker was absolutely fine. She also thought they had split up. Lancaster told the site she knew nothing about the wedding. She quickly discovered that the venue had been supposedly reserved for the wedding, had no record of their booking, so none of that ever happened. He had since texted he was sorry and has paid back half the $1,200 he owes for the wedding-related expenses. Lancaster refuses any contact. Well, I wouldn't either.
Oh, no. I can afford to give you $600. How's that of the $1,200 I owe for the expenses?
Here's the part that kills me. Listen to this. I'm an awful, terrible person. I know I shouldn't have told her I was dead, but I didn't know what else to do. Hey, bright guy, here's something you could have done. Say, I don't want to get married. What do you mean you didn't know what else to do?
Right.
Your option isn't option A, pretend you threw yourself in front of a bus and killed yourself, or B, tell her you don't want to get married.
Right, right.
Didn't know what else to do.
At the top of that article, there's a video. She like does a little video thing of.
Oh, is this her?
Yeah, it's her.
Okay, I'm gonna play it. All right, what we got here? Okay, there's an M for male.
Yes. So today is the 15th of August. It was going to be my wedding day. I have mixed feelings about this. A little bit heartbroken. A little bit relieved. I'm really glad that I'm not going to be married to some kind of low-life scumbag who's going to fake his own death and just be generally mean about it.
I don't think your hair is real. I think that's fake hair.
Yeah.
Not that that has anything to do with the story. let's see. I'm going to skip that one because time.
Yeah.
You know what? Squarespace.com. I will not skip for time because I love these guys. Man. Oh. Of all the, look, there are a million services out there that want you to come and say, hey, host your website here and we got stuff and the thing. And you know, some are okay, some are all right, but none of them stack up to the features and capabilities that Squarespace affords you. That's at squarespace.com. Here's the deal, though. Unlike a lot of sites where you got to put a credit card in to even try the thing or there is no trial, these guys let you do a full trial without any cost up front, without any use of a credit card. It is completely risk-free. You can just go try it out and see what you think of their themes, their responsive mobile designs, their tools for selling stuff, all their e-commerce stuff built right in, and just make something. And then when you're done, go, well, wow, that was rad. I think I want to keep my website dedicated to strange or orange-wigged ladies on the internet. I'm going to keep it. And how do you keep it? Well, you save some money. How about 10% off your order by using the code MORNING at checkout? That's MORNING at checkout. At squarespace.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Diary of a Cartoonist, where Scott yells at ducks at frogpants.com/diary.
I chased some down on Instagram yesterday trying to get the kingpin mad.
Yeah.
And you didn't get the whole video, so that's unfortunate because it's only 15 seconds long, but I chase these two white geese who usually don't fight unless the kingpin's around. So I'm chasing the two white geese, and they're just going, bah, bah, and trying to get away from
me. Where's our leader? Where's our leader?
And then I look up, and I hear out in the middle of the lake, I hear this sound. Like that. I look up, and there's the kingpin.
Oh, really?
And he's kind of coming my way. So I'm like, oh.
I'm watching you.
Don't you come near my other geese. So I got the hell out of there. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, wrestler, still wrestling occasionally, but mostly known now for his film roles, action and otherwise, is set to be in the DC films for sure. There was rumor about this. Now it's all confirmed. He will play the role in an upcoming DC Comics movie adaptation that has yet to decide between superhero Shazam and his arch nemesis Black Adam. He may not have a hard time making a decision. He told the Associated Press on Monday he's always been a fan of the anti-heroes and says one of his favorite DC comic characters has always been Black Adam. Appearing in Mexico City, just like poof, out of nowhere, he appeared in Mexico City. Just poof, there's The Rock. He was promoting Hercules.
You click your biceps together three times. Poof.
Click them. Click, click,
say,
click.
Tooth fairy, say, three times in the mirror, turn off the lights, and poof.
Movie I wish didn't exist. he says he will make sure comic book fans are not disappointed. Quote, I'm putting my heart and soul and my bones into this role, he says. I'm a big Black Adam fan, so I'm cool with that. I actually don't like Shazam very much, but I like Black Adam. He's great. I mean, here's the truth. On the surface, anyway, I know there's more to it in the comics, but Black Adam's basically like Bizarro is to Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like Bizarro.
Yeah.
I am, despite all the misgivings everyone has about DC these days, I'm actually looking forward to all these movies, so bring them on. I'm good.
Oh, I'll see every single one of them, and I hope that they do well. I even though I'm a Marvel fanboy, mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what they do with all this stuff. Mm-hmm.
I'm reading a really Grant Morrison's incredible JLA run right now from 96 mm-hmm. to 06 or whatever it was. It's fan-freaking-tastic, man. That guy.
He's a great writer.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Son of Hong Kong movie action star Jackie Chan has been nabbed in a Beijing pot bust.
Oh, no.
32-year-old son of Chinese film icon Jackie Chan has been detained in Beijing after police found more than 100 grams of marijuana at his home. The government published China Daily reported today. The arrest of J.C. Chan, that's his name.
His name is J.C.?
J.C.
Oh, J.C. J-A-Y-C-E-E.
Yeah, isn't that weird? That's weird. J.C. Chan. is part of a crackdown on drug use in the entertainment industry. There's also netted actor Kai Ko of Taiwan, actor Gu Hu, and Zhang Mo, the actor or the son of actor Zhang Guli. Look, these are the best I can do. I can't.
No. Hey, this is
it's pretty good.
You've got a little bit of experience here with these, so I'm...
Let's see. More than 7,800 people have been detained in a drug crackdown in Beijing this year, and a 70% increase from the year previous. So that means they're cracking down, I guess. Beijing is the main hub for China's booming entertainment business. Is it booming? I guess it is. Because there's a lot of people to feed in China with movies and stuff. But the Hong Kong...
It's no Bollywood.
No. But the Hong Kong action scene of the like 80s and 90s was so super rad, but I didn't feel like any of that was coming from the mainland. Maybe that's all changed now. I don't know. Now that they own Hong Kong again. And did I ever tell you, cleanest place I've ever been in my life was Hong Kong.
You've mentioned that. It's amazing.
I was blown away by it. I didn't expect it. I mean, the mainland, southern China, was terrible. It was a dirty hole. But Hong Kong was kind of rad. I loved it. I could go back there. We flew out in a monsoon, though, and that was bad. Oof, that was not good. Ever been in a plane where you are lifted so high from your seat and hovering there before you drop again over and over and over for like 20 minutes? It was awful.
No. Well, that means your seatbelt wasn't securely fastened.
No,
Scott.
It was on. It was like we would drop so hard, the seatbelt was all that was holding me in place because would drop so hard, your butt would be an inch off the seat just being pulled there. I don't know how I didn't yak or something. It was awful.
God, that is scary.
Level 8 typhoon or whatever their category 8 or however they say it. It was bad. Tweaked Audio, sponsoring today's program with their 5 great styles, 7 great colors, their engineered for durability quality, and their noise reduction. Oh, yeah, compatible with your iPod, your iPhone, your MP3 players, your Android phone, even your weird Windows phone, you weird Windows phone owners. They have a good third place, though. They're doing okay. Well, not really. It's a distant third, but still.
No, it's a distant.
there's some of those are cool. Like, it's too bad they don't have the reach or the whatever. I don't have the mind share to make it bigger. But anyway, lifetime warranty on all that you see, all you survey over there at tweakedaudio.com. Use the code stream at checkout, 33% off. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Fitness Geek will be here. Jury will be here as well for a jury duty segment and more. So stay tuned for all of that. What are we doing for music today?
Pulling another one from the TMS requests page. Mm-hmm. So again, that you can use either tiny.cc/TMS requests or tinyurl.com/TMS requests. There was some problems with tiny.cc yesterday, so we added the other one. Big All thanks right. to Iceworm for doing that. This one goes out to Ashley Victoria Robinson. Says and this would have been for yesterday. Or, I'm sorry, would have been Monday.
Mm.
The 17th is the monthly anniversary of the day I started dating my most awesome boyfriend, Jason. One of his favorite shows is Justified, which I sometimes watch with him. Jason is like Raylan, whose name I probably spelled wrong. He's noble, charismatic, and should have been born a cowboy. I'm kind of like Boyd because I never quite managed to execute a plan perfectly, often rub people the wrong way, and have some awesome hair first thing in the morning.
Wow.
In honor of the fact that Jason continues to put up with me and be my moral compass, I'd love to hear whichever cover of You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive that Brian thinks is best. Cheers.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Ashley. This is a fun challenge. And Brad Paisley's done covers. There was a big long list of versions that I checked out. And by the way, the original version, I didn't know if you knew this, but was done by a guy named Daryl Scott. Daryl Scott.
What?
Crazy, huh?
I don't like that combo at all. That's a very knowledgeable, banana-eating cartoonist.
Right. Yeah, weird. A little scary, too, yes. Yeah. The version I settled on is by the Ruby Friedman Orchestra. I think it captures the feel of Justified really, really well. Mm. And I just love the sound of this completely and totally. The Ruby Friedman Orchestra with their cover of You'll Never Leave Harlan Alive.
All right, we'll be back in a bit. Stay tuned, everyone.
Getting too old for this show. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back.
What'd you think of that?
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I want more of that, please.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
So, you may have said this.
Kind of funny from a band that calls themselves the Ruby Friedman Orchestra. Yeah. It's not a very orchestra sound to it.
Not at all. That's just amazing. I want that. I want more of that. I'm going to get more of that. And that does make me, just makes me want to go watch Justified over and over.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good. well done. Let's keep this train moving here, everybody.
Okay.
Let's keep heading toward the goal,
which is
bringing in some other people and having them talk and say stuff. And the first one up will be Bill Duran. And you know him, you love him. And he's a fitness geek. And here he comes. And he should be here momentarily. And I don't have a thing to play for him, so I'll just play this right here. How about this one? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Bill Duran. Hello, Bill.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Bill. Bill. Damn it, Bill. Bill. Damn it, Bill. Bill. Hey, Bill.
Barry.
Bill. Nice. We didn't have you last week. You had some class.
Oh, yeah. I was off learning how to become a filmmaker.
Yeah, that looked intense.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Film Riot guys, right?
Yeah.
Jury teased about what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, Jury, we were going to hang out with them, but they were busy. So I ran off the night before and hung out with Jury. In fact, he is back in town. I can smell him from here, actually.
Is he there? Is he in your thing?
No, he's not here. Oh. He's in Redmond. Oh. I mean, you can smell him from 30 miles away.
Oh, I see. That's true.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, but it's a. But
he
it's
doesn't
a,
wash that beard out, does he?
No. But it's it's a musky, earthy scent. It's not bad. It's okay.
No.
Yeah. It's mostly the beard. Well, good. I'm glad he's always up and around there. He's always got a lot of guys. Seattle seems rife for go games to me. Seems like that's the place to have them.
Oh yeah, I want to someday. One of my goals is to make my company so big that I can afford to have a go game.
Yeah, by then old man Jerry can come and run it for you.
Yes. Right now, it's I'm the only person that works here, so it would just be me and Justin doing a scavenger hunt, which I would be down with that too. That'd be fun.
Something I've learned with the kind of new media creator stuff is that sometimes having employees is sometimes the great thing that can happen and sometimes the absolute worst thing that can happen.
Right.
So, you know, and it says nothing to do with fitness, but recently I was like, oh man, I got to hire someone. Things are getting bonkers. Yeah. But ever since talking to one John Funk about organizational skills and
he's good
stuff. Yeah. I've sort of gotten my crap back together and I feel like maybe I don't need to hire someone for another year or so.
Yeah, that's how you do it is you rely on the kindness of others, not strangers in this case. John Funk is certainly no stranger. Mm-hmm. But that guy is the getting things done master. He is totally worth talking to if you ever. I guess I shouldn't just say, hey, everybody contact John and ask him questions.
No, wait till I'm done because I need to contact him first.
Yeah, there you have it. Well, Bill, it's always good to have you on.
Part of getting things done, keeping everything in order, keeping your priorities straight, is keeping your body in order. Fitness.
That's right. And I can't wait to hear.
Well segued, sir.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Take that, Tom Merritt.
That's right. He is no Tom Merritt anymore. It's more you than him. So how do I get healthy today? What do I listen to today that somehow changes my health life?
I've been listening to a book called The 4-Hour Work Week. By one Tim Ferriss.
All right.
And it's all about entrepreneurship and all that good junk. But he also wrote a book called The 4-Hour Body, all about fitness and working out. Now, I haven't read that book yet, but I plan to. But I also read a whole bunch of crap on his blog about it, too. So little bite-sized information bits.
All right.
And he uses for weight loss what he calls the slow-carb diet. And that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, the slow carb diet.
Yeah,
not heard of this. I've heard of the bikini.
Of carbs, just eat the slow ones.
What's the bikini workout? Briefly, I've heard. Someone keeps telling me about the bikini workout.
That's the one where you only eat bikinis.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Okay, now it makes sense. Boy, that would be a low calorie diet for me.
Yeah, well, there are as many diets out there as there are people trying to lose weight. So, but this one, I think it was named slow carb to sound low carb. Back when that was a fad.
Yeah.
Let's see. Back in 2007 was when this was sort of cooked up.
That sounds about right. That feels like the high point of low carb talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the idea being not to eliminate all carbs from your diet, but to eliminate to only what they call slow carbs, or in other words, complex carbohydrates, ones that take a long time for your body to process.
All right.
And what you're getting are foods that are have what's called a low glycemic index. There we go. And that's food that the glycemic index is a food's effect on a person's blood glucose levels. So there are certain foods you could eat where you have basically more sugar in your blood. And if you don't use that, then it gets turned into fat. If you don't have that in your body, then when your body goes and needs food, it will or needs energy, it'll pull from your fat stores.
Mm.
So the idea seems pretty sound.
I got one quick thing to say about the fat stores.
Yeah.
It's important to note this. No matter what your diet is or what you're doing to lose weight, because your goal is to burn fat, but also, you know, get rid of the fat. And part of getting rid of the fat is your body using those fat stores for other reasons, whether it's to burn it off or to use it for, you know, energy or whatever. It never felt good, though. In other words, if you stopped eating a bunch of stuff that you would normally eat and you're like, all right, I'm going to stop eating that and I'm going to let my fat stores take care of it. It's not like your body goes, oh, yum, yum, yum. Satiated and satisfied with my freaking fat stores. It doesn't. Nope. It never works that way. It's unfortunate. Dieting would be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
That's true. I mean, your body working through your reserve tank feels an awful lot like starving.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
It really does.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was. I mean, we're really awesome at storing fat, and that's what got us through ice ages, you know, 20,000 years ago. And then when we were in the middle of an ice age and there was no food, we sat there starving, living off of our body fat.
Yeah.
Basically why we do that.
Sure.
Unfortunately, now we don't really need that much anymore, but our bodies are still like, but the next ice age is coming.
No, it's like Wendy always talks about with the fight or flight instinct that people have, and there's no more saber-tooth tigers ready to attack us from behind, right. Yet we still have this built-in innate sort of fear that something is going to get us all the time.
Yep.
Different ways. Yeah. Same deal.
And then the Illuminati is after
us. Right, right. Yeah, it's really, that's where it shifted, hasn't it? Like kind of modern day city dwellers, they get their fix of I'm being attacked by, there's clearly prowling giant cats outside the cave. They're now getting that with, there are clearly men in high places controlling everyone like a puppet or whatever. Mm-hmm. They've got their other fears they've replaced it with, which is hard, easy to see, hard to admit if you're in the middle of it. But
anyway. Right.
Psychology, so here are, good times.
Yes. Here are the general rules for the slow carb diet. Right. And I like that it's broken down into little rules for yourself, as opposed to things like counting calories can get a little bit convoluted. And this doesn't include any of that, although I do still recommend you count your calories.
Yeah.
But here are the rules. Anyway, avoid white starchy carbohydrates. These are your what they call simple carbohydrates, rice, like white rice, grains, even it says even oatmeal here. I thought that was a complex carbohydrate, but generally what it says is if you're not sure, don't eat it. You know, if you have to ask, just don't eat it.
That's a good rule of thumb for everything.
Oh yeah.
If you're not sure, don't eat it.
Kind of like, was that sitting out on the counter all night? Or did I just take that out of the fridge?
Has it been 2 weeks since we bought this? I can't remember.
Yeah. I think I will not eat it.
Yeah.
One of the other rules is eat the same few meals over and over again. Sort of get used to that routine. And that's what I've said in the past. And a lot of people are like, well, that's boring. And I'm like,
That with stir fry and chicken and stuff a lot, right? Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly what I had for dinner last night.
Nice.
People tend to do this anyway, kind of. They just don't realize it. But what you're doing now is just picking your new default meals, you know, just swapping stuff out. The next rule, don't drink your calories. And this is a massive one because people don't realize how many calories they're getting when they're drinking. So your coffee, your latte with, you don't realize it, but 800 calories, mostly sugar. That's going to knock you back a few.
Yeah.
Even things like, you know, I really like my beer, but if I'm going to get my calories, then not getting them from beer is a good idea because beer tends to have a lot of carbohydrates in it.
Yeah. Mm.
He makes an exception for 1 to 2 glasses of dry red wine per night. And that's because, let's see, this 5-ounce glass of red wine contains approximately 106 calories and only 2.5 grams of carbohydrates.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
I always figured that they were, that's funny. I'm no expert on any of this, but I always thought the carb level, or the carb count, and the calorie count were often just kind of interchangeable.
Well, it depends. I mean,
some foods, I'm sure that's true, but like in this case, there's a big difference between the two.
You know? Right, there really is. Let's see here, cottage cheese, 11 grams of protein, and that's only 3.3 grams of carbohydrates. So that's a pretty good one to use too. He does recommend not eating much dairy at all, with the condition that cottage cheese is okay. If you look up the Wikipedia page on this, there's a really good breakdown of what you could be eating and what you probably ought not be eating, including things like, fruit. The next rule: don't eat fruit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This is, and again, this is for your weight loss. Fruit is really super important, but you can get a lot of the same vitamins and stuff that you need from your vegetables without getting just an epic amount of sugar. And we've talked about this before, where people are like, oh, every morning I have my smoothie, it's super healthy. And you're like, yeah, but you forgot that. It's like, crap load of sugar.
A lot of sugar, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's weird, because for me, I mean, everyone's different, right? And mm-hmm. you know, the question, I guess, outstanding for me is, which diet works best for individual people? And I think that's the thing they forget about, is that there's no one diet that fits all. In my case, going from a dropping red meat, dropping dairy was enough for me, really, to lose the weight. Like everything else, I've increased fruit intake, I've increased vegetables, like I've increased those things. And in the case of fruit, like a lot more fruit in my life than I used to have. And I haven't gained a pound back. So that's me, though, right? That's me.
Yeah. And this, the idea, the thing I like about this, and you know what? It's kind of true about a lot of the stuff that Tim Ferriss has been doing, like the 4-hour work week. There is a lot of really good information in there, and I sort of pick out the bits that I like, the things that I can apply to my life. So when it comes to the diet, you may find that just by swapping out, not drinking your calories, maybe you say, that's a rule for my life. I'm no longer going to, everything I drink is going to be zero calorie, with an exception of red wine, apparently. That you may find that is enough of a change in your life to make a really big impact. You may be the kind of person who drinks a 2-liter thing of soda every day. And if you stop doing that, it will make a massive impact in your life.
Yeah.
The last rule here is take one day off and just go bonkers. Have a cheat day. And that's a pretty common trend in a lot of diets.
Well, I had a burger the other day. I guess that was my cheat day, I suppose.
Yeah,
there you go. That's definitely your cheat day.
There's this new pizza joint that opened up here that I guess is a big chain around the country, but we just got it. And it's called... oh, crap. Kim would have to tell me the name. I've already forgotten the name.
That's Cece's, is it?
No, but it's... imagine if Subway was a pizza place.
Oh, I know the place you're talking about, where you walk... basically, they assemble it right there. It's like basil...
oh, you're getting there.
Live basil?
No.
The Papa Murphy's?
No. You go in this line just like, and they've got a glass covered thing, and they got people behind it, and they're like, okay, what kind of sauce do you want? Okay, great. And then they pass it down to, so it's just like, oh, what veggies do you want on your Subway? It's like, what toppings do you want? And it's all like really flat rate pricing, like $7.50 for a big 12-inch pizza for, you know, that's the smallest they make, and you just do it.
Yeah, the one we have is live basil. I'm looking, and it's only in Los Angeles and Denver, but
this is very similar to that, whatever it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Yeah, you walk along and say, oh, I want some arugula. Oh, give me some pesto. Give me some.
Yeah. It's priced right. You get a 12-inch pizza, super thin crust.
Pyology?
That's it. Pyology.
Yo, Cleo. Cleo nailed it.
Thank you.
Pyology.
Really,
one of those here, too.
Really liked it, but good gosh, I felt like I fell off the wagon a little bit when I ate
You don't have to eat the whole thing.
Well, you say that. You say that, but it's not that big of a pizza. It's not super thick, right? Super thin and crispy and stuff, so it's not like I'm eating big giant sloppy pieces of, you know, Pizza Hut pizza,
right?
And the oil, they don't use any kind of I forget what oil usually use in pizza dough and crust and stuff, but this is all olive oil, so it's all, you know, relatively healthy stuff. But I still couldn't like stop at one, or I did stop at one. I ate one whole pizza, but that's the smallest they make, so what are you gonna do? You know, it's not like I can get a little 2-inch pizza. Yeah, I guess I could have shared it.
Yeah, take well, half of it home.
Kim and I were gonna share it, and she ate one piece of it, and she says, I'm good, I don't need any more. And I ate the rest of it. And then I ate one of the kids' pieces, so that was like a whole pizza.
So, I like thinking that you're sitting there with you've eaten half the pizza and sitting in front of you, and they're like, "What options do I have?
Yeah, guess what else can I do? There's nothing else to do but eat the rest." I don't know why I brought that up. I guess the point is that
that's your cheat day.
It's but I feel like I kind of cheated twice because I had that burger on Sunday and then that yesterday, and I feel like I need to decide what my week is. You know.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. Pick a day of the week, say, and stick to your rules. Say, if your rule is I'm not eating pizza during the week, then say Saturday is pizza day, and that's when we're going to do it. But make it the same day every week. Otherwise, pizza you're like, well, this week Friday's pizza day, and then it Saturday comes, and you're like, well, Saturday's pizza day anyway, so I guess I'll have another whole pizza.
Yeah.
Don't break your rules.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of setting up rules for yourself, and you're basically saying, I am the kind of person who doesn't do X. Right?
Right.
And you can do this for any aspect of your life, because a lot of people will say, oh, well, I'm not going to go. Here's what I talked to Jerry about this. At Dragon Con this year, I'm not going to get drunk at all. Right.
Yeah.
Which is not something I've done in the past. Seems like it's a party place and people tend to get a little tipsy. Yeah. I decided this year my rule is I'm not going to not have any beers. I'll have a couple beers, but I'm not going to go beyond the point of me really regretting the next morning when I try and go in the parade wearing my costume and being kind of hungover.
And
I just set up, that's a rule for myself. I'm just not going to get drunk when I'm at Dragon Con. And even though in the past that has been the exception, where I, and for those listening, it's not like I get drunk all the time. It's just that Dragon Con is
Bill's a pretty sober dude. I think that's
cool. Jerry and Schwood are going to miss you.
That's the thing. I talked to Jerry about it too, and he kind of agreed with me. And the point being not to abstain, not to be a wet blanket.
No, it's no.
Just have a rule for yourself and set limits.
Right, moderation. Yeah, no, it's so easy out there, and especially when you wake up in that Georgia heat, Atlanta heat the next morning, it just compounds any hangover that you might have.
Yeah.
So, and that's what all these rules are all about. It's like, set up these rules for yourself, and instead of making things be the exception, say, well, it's Dragon Con. Of course I'm going to go eat everything that they have down in Georgia. Say, no, I'm not the kind of person that does that.
Yeah.
Just, it's not that you're making the exception. Say, oh, well, it's a special occasion. Say, no, I just don't do that.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good rule, man. I think this is good. And then when you come to Salt Lake, you'll be less hungover. Your head won't hurt. You'll be fine. Everything will be fine.
I won't throw up in Scott Shrubs.
One can hope. One can only hope. Well, this is all good advice. People at home, just freaking, you know what? This will be the segment to end all segments. Eat good. That's all we're saying.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Don't be a dumbass. Just eat good.
Just be the kind of person who makes their eating the highest priority in their life.
Right. Thanks. Why not? Because it's your own thing. It's your one constant, right? If there's one thing about your day that never changes, it's that you need sustenance. You require food intake.
Yeah, you do.
So why not make the best of that? And I say this knowing I ate a whole pizza last night. All right? I get it. I'm one of you. I understand. And I understand the challenges. But let's do it together. We got this. We can do this.
We can.
All right. Bill Duran, everybody. Always a pleasure. You got anything cool going on? You want people to know that?
Yeah. Dragon Con is way too close, and I have way too much work to get done before then. So I'll be doing that. Mm. I just finished a shield from Dragon Age, a Templar shield. Mm. So
go Dragon Age 1, 2, or the third thing coming?
I can't remember.
Oh, Inquisition looks real good.
I wasn't aware this was a quiz.
Sorry. I didn't prepare you ahead of time. Please name the shield and which game it came from and which character had it, please.
I think I posted some photos of that up on Facebook, facebook.com/punishedprops. Yeah. Go look that up. Yeah. And everything else I do, I'll get dumped on punishedprops.com, so check that out. Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm going to have much content going up in the next couple of weeks because I'm going to be up all night, every day.
It's crunch time for you. Is it a new costume you're going to be sporting? I can't remember what you said. No.
Well, I have a couple of new little things. I built my little claptrap. He'll be showing up.
Yeah. It's going to be part of that big claptrap extravaganza.
Yeah, we got some people roped in for that. It's going to be fun.
I think that Draugr costume is always a good go-to. You can wear anywhere.
It's making the trip again. We're augmenting those a little bit. We're upgrading them a little bit.
Nice. So. Well, you did even at Nerdtacular. The mouth work was insane. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to see the bone penis or whatever it is you're going to put in there. Because, you know, that's all that's missing at this point.
Of course. Yeah, well, that's... note, add that.
Add bone penis. Yeah, put that
you
in your...
You didn't have it before.
Put that in your getting things done OmniFocus John Funk deal, and you're all set.
I'm totally typing that in right now on my phone.
Chinbeard, everybody. Chinbeard on Twitter. Punishprops.com. Bill, it's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon, dude.
Toodaloo.
I know. See you. Oh, wait. There you are. Now you're up. Oh, now Bill's up. Hold on. I gotta kill Bill. Kill Bill.
Which volume was this?
I don't even know what I'm saying. Let's get Jury Von Justified in here. Let's see here. Justin Robert Young.
You'll never leave Jury alive.
That's right. So we assume he's in Seattle, up to 50 miles away or whatever he said. You say 50 miles away.
Oh, is that where he is this week? I thought I knew that's where he was last week. Is he still in Seattle?
Bill said something about him being close because he could smell him or something.
30 miles away, that's right.
I don't know how close that has to be.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Justin R. Young is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Justin.
Hi, guys. Hey, how are you?
Hey, man. We're good. Look at...
Nice artwork.
You're doing the... that's pretty fancy hotel artwork behind you. Also, I really like the microphone. You look like a tribute to stand-up there. I like it.
Well, you know, that's the thing with hotel artwork, folks.
What's the
deal? Have you seen it? Have you seen this?
That's pretty good. Justin, what's going on, man? You come on the show, you tell us shit. It's like stuff that's going on. It's great. It's one of my favorite things in the world. It's Tuesday. That's what we do. And he's here. He's got stuff to... Oh, okay. First things first, though, real quick.
Yeah.
Turns out you and your buddy Schwood there owe us a come on TMS and sing. Was it Endless Love?
Endless Love.
Yeah, Endless yes. Love.
Unfamiliar with that. Next question.
All right. Next up. there is no question two. I revert back to question one. I think.
David, I got caught in the question paradox.
There really was one other question. That was something that came up yesterday, Brian. What was it?
We said we'd ask Jerry about.
Yeah. No, crap.
I don't remember it.
Crap. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to endeavor to figure what that is before we're done here because it seemed important at the time. Like you would have a thing to say about it. Like very jury-ish thing, but it's all right. It's okay. Well, we'll continue forward, and if I think of what it is, I'll ask you. And
I'm
then...
sure the tadpole will help remind us of anything we may have forgotten.
Somebody will remind us. Yeah.
Was it like a news story or something?
Maybe. Kind of. That's ringing a bell ish. I don't remember. Anyway, regardless of that, what's going on, man? What are you doing? What are you in Seattle? Where are you now?
So back in Seattle, got pretty much is like a deja vu of my my week. Last week, where fly out on Monday and do this go game, and we'll do jury talks here in Seattle tonight, and then head on back to Oakland Wednesday morning.
I enjoyed the chunk that I was able to see before I had to leave of you doing a kind of live cast coverage of the WWE business. The other day.
That's like, you know, I figured, hell, there are people who make empires out of, you know, playing video games, watching people play video games, right? That's a whole thing.
That's a thing, sure.
May or may not get sold and Justin TV shut down to prove that people don't want to hear people talking. They want to watch and play the video games.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured let's take the most boring elements of all of those things and have people watch me watch wrestling pay-per-views. So,
I enjoyed it. I had a good time with it.
It's not any of the good stuff, right? It's not any of the skill or interesting graphics of video games. It's literally just my dumb face watching wrestling and talking about it.
All right, now I remember the question. Are you ready for this? Here it is.
Yeah.
All right. Let me lay it on you. It was this. Somebody had said yesterday, and I tweeted something about this too, but somebody had said something to me about why... Why did PewDiePie or, you know, Tubuscus or a thousand other very popular YouTube personalities, okay?
Yeah.
Jenna Marbles, whoever else, right?
Sure.
How did they get the thing they're doing? Like, how are they making? Because there was some article on Forbes about how they're pulling an average of like two to upwards of $8 million down per year in just ad revenue. That's just their cut from whatever YouTube and Google take. And that seems like a lot of money, and everybody's like, oh, I want to be on YouTube. I want to. And so it got me to thinking about this idea that people think that if you just go on there, you'll be a huge YouTube sensation. And my point was, and I said some comment on, you know, a little bit sarcastically, well, a lot sarcastically, but I said that's kind of like asking, you know, why your channel's not as popular as PewDiePie's is like asking why your sex tape didn't take off like Kim Kardashian's did.
Yeah.
And I wanted your take on this because you talk about this kind of stuff sometimes in interesting ways. And this idea that there's the medium. Somebody was there, and in my mind, it has more to do with timing. That person's particular talent or slant or sound or something.
Yeah.
But it's mostly a timing thing. Right time, right place, right thing. You know, I've read interviews with PewDiePie and with, like, the Yogscast, talking to Terpster about this a lot. I mean, that's all it was for them. It was they exploded when they decided, hey, we're going to start filming Minecraft stuff when Minecraft first hit. And they were like right at the cusp of that. Nobody else was doing it. And it blew up, just blew up perfectly. Since then, a billion people playing Minecraft and they all want to do that kind of viewership. And they can't because the genie's out of that bottle. At least that's the thinking.
They can. I mean, I guess here's my thought. Number one, yes, it's timing. But it's not like timing is not the absence of talent and hard work. Mm-hmm.
Quality and good content. You know? Yeah.
Like you have to have that, but you have to have the other thing too. But let's take it back further than that. I feel like this conversation is really just the mutated version of the conversations that we used to have before the internet made these conversations far more about the meritocracy element. You know, the fact that anybody, you know, Jenna Marbles can wake up one day 5 years ago and say, man, like, I want to make a video about how women put on makeup, you know, or like, I've seen all these makeup tutorials. I want to do a silly makeup tutorial. And now all of a sudden she's making $2 million a year, you know, like flash forward 5 years.
Yeah.
But there's this idea that we used to have of like, well, how do you make it big? You're a band or something. You go and you pay your dues, you ride around, and then it's like, well, he knew the A&R executive. The A&R executive passed it up to the people at the record label. You know, they since this is a family friendly show, they, you know, the female lead singer shook hands with the record executive and
shook hands.
Had a nice vigorous handshake session.
I like it.
Exactly.
I like it. Yeah.
So, like, yeah, there's that idea. And I feel like there used to be a lot of anger in the like, oh, well, these people are successful because they just did this thing that skipped them to the front of the line.
That's funny you say that, because yesterday when I put this tweet up, some of the replies, more than I expected, said, well, yeah, but they're aligned with Maker Studios, for example.
But they were big before. I mean, like the Maker thing was forged because there were YouTube people that were big, you know, and not to say that there's not a halo effect to being a part of a larger group, you know. OMG Chad, who was doing Minecraft videos and was doing OMG Craft on Twit for, you know, probably about 5-6 months. All of a sudden he goes to PAX East and gets in with a bunch of people that are in like this huge Minecraft collective.
Yeah.
And now he's doing gangbusters.
Yeah, doing big numbers, yeah.
So there's a benefit to that, but I guess that's what's interesting to me is we don't really have those conversations anymore. No one's like, "Oh, well, Jenna Marbles is big because she's the boyfriend of Mr. YouTube." You know?
Yeah.
There is the element of like, well, I could be that person, mm-hmm. you know, which brings up a whole new catacomb of almost even more personal self-worth issues whenever we like get angry about the fact that they are that person and we are not.
That's exactly. See, this is why I'm glad I brought this up, because this is totally this resonates with me. It's kind of like, so I'm looking at the top, I don't know, 20 YouTubers, right, that are all like playing video games or doing weird commentary or whatever. There's some common stuff going on. A lot of really pretty women, that's going on. Not saying they don't have the talent to back it up, because most of them do, but a lot of them are just very attractive. I think that's a factor, yeah, whether you want it to be or not. The other factors
which,
are...
Which, by the way, you know, has been a factor since ancient Rome.
Oh, yeah. Right? No, there's a reason.
Like,
there's reason.
People like to look at pretty people.
Yeah, there's a reason why one of the Hart sisters is featured heavily in the music videos and the other isn't. Okay? There's a reason. Yeah. So I get that, and that's always been here. So that is one thing. The other thing that seems to be very common is everybody's, you know, for the most part, maybe there's some exceptions, but everyone looks like roughly they're under the age of 28. You know, it's a very young group. And that there's something with that. I don't know what that is, but there's something there.
Again, something that's been, I mean,
right.
Whenever you are dealing with a demographic, you want your demographic to be able to see themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another something that's been, that's about as old as, you know, a tale as old as time, you know, like it's, either you want to interact with that person, but you, the audience needs to see their relationship with you.
Yeah.
And whether that be you are them or you are the wise wizard that they are coming to interact with, they need to see the narrative thread between how they like come into your sphere.
Right. Where's the relation? Sure. And that and that is interesting from just on, there's lots of psychological things, but what really makes this interesting to me and why I wanted to bring up the question, and you kind of led me to this, is this idea that the big difference now is there is kind of a lottery factor that didn't exist before. So if you wanted to be a famous cartoonist in newspapers back in the day, you had to submit your strips to a million syndications, and hopefully one day, if you're extremely lucky or knew the right people, you might get published in a paper and it might take off from there. But there wasn't a chance of like viral hit because there was so much gatekeeping that you were either molded to be a viral hit, you know, you were the One Direction of your time, or you broke through in some other way, but it was very rare for that to happen. Now it is it's not only less rare, but anybody can do it. So if you want to have a popular channel, a popular podcast, a popular webcomic, a popular whatever it is you're making, you know, sometimes all it takes is this weird lottery, like one thing to just explode and take off.
Well, why do you think everybody's shoving cinnamon down their gullet and coughing like an idiot, or eating 15 ghost peppers, or dumping ice buckets on their head? Although the charity
owns marshmallows or whatever,
sure.
Because that is the ability for a larger audience to see you, because you are doing a trend that people want to see, that trend, and not necessarily something from you. YouTube, at least in my elementary understanding, from somebody who's not very good at YouTube, seems to be it is dependent on your hits. You know, like you have the one big hit and that draws the attention to all your other stuff. And then by that subscriber count going up, that's how you become dependable on your view count. You know, that like you have the big hit, keep doing what you're doing. Now your baseline view count goes up. You do another big hit, baseline view count goes up. But that's why even the PewDiePies and the Jenna Marbles and the My Drunk Kitchens, they still do those little YouTube trend things, because they still want to continue to beef up that subscriber count. And they want to have those big, big, big videos. Now for them, there's a financially lucrative element to it, because if they have, you know, if the Songify, the Gregory Brothers people, like do another Bed Intruder sized hit at this point, then it is a substantial financial windfall in a way that it might not have been when they'd done it before.
Sure. And there are plenty of people with the one off like 58 million views and they've got 3,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. Their case is if they get another 58 million views, they already have 6 million subscribers. They're going to bump up a million subscribers.
And you know, there's, you know, I think I did a spoken word Bed Intruder thing back in the day. And like it wound up getting, and like you said, here's where the lottery stuff comes in. Because YouTube has an algorithm. That algorithm places you should watch next videos next to popular videos. And that's what, you know, speaking again of OMG Chad, that dude all of a sudden had one of his videos get placed next to a PewDiePie video.
Oh, right. And, I saw that. That was that's funny. That
and
effect.
Next thing you know, he's on a rocket. Collect stones. It's like a whole nother stratosphere of views for him.
So I mean,
there's two kind of conversations here. There's number one, the, you know, how to make it on YouTube without really trying.
Yeah.
And then there's should we feel bad? You know, how do we feel about this? If A, it's easier for us to become YouTube sensations, or and by that, let's just go ahead and call it media figures, famous media figures.
Yeah.
It's far easier to do that than it ever used to be in any kind of previous incarnation of the media figure game. And second, how do we deal with the fact that we're not, you know?
There's also a granularity there that didn't exist before, where you either back in the day, you made it or you didn't make it. And there was maybe granularity in other kinds of professions or whatever, but when it came to this kind of stuff, you either made it or you just didn't make it. Now you can kind of make it, you can sort of make it, you can a lot make it, you can totally make it. And there's a billion categories for how well you did, and it's all divided by these little numbers, these little subscriber numbers, these little download numbers, that, you know, whatever your metric is. And you know, there are people in full, now it's to the point where there are people in full-fledged Hollywood fan, you know, spotlight who will never be as popular as PewDiePie is with the demographic they're aiming for.
Like, yeah.
That's the weird bit now, is that we've reached into that space and now they're kind of cohabitating the same space, and it's not this, you know, that part's the weird bit. It's no longer this strange, like, basement-dwelling, you know, internet thing. It's much bigger than that. But still, there's all these in-betweens, and there are thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people who wish they had OMG Chad's numbers currently, and there are thousands, maybe millions, who have better numbers than Chad, and it's just
kill
this,
themselves if they woke up and found that red hair atop their head.
Right, they would say, what hath happened, and that'd be the end of it.
My God, have you cursed me?
We love Chad. But that's the point. Right, is that it's not the big difference now is that there's so many levels, and it almost doesn't matter where you're at, unless maybe you're PewDiePie.
Well, and listen, I guess it's like
you're gonna be frustrated, right? I mean,
number one, this kind of gets into, you know, there's lies, there's dirty lies, and there's statistics. You know, like, you can take numbers and make them, you can drive yourself crazy with numbers. Let me just put it this way: for anybody who wants to fret about, oh, well, I don't have these, you know, I don't have these subscribers, I don't have these downloads, I don't have this, you're always going to be able to drive yourself up a wall, right? Like, yeah. And the best and most productive of us drive themselves up the wall in the most healthy way possible that makes them as productive as possible and tries to refine their craft and continue to give their audience what they want. The least productive of us never get off the launch pad because we're like worried about, well, is this the right way? Hey, you know, I'm going to drive myself crazy trying to make the perfect, I'm going to draw out the perfect rocket. And then when I try to launch it the first time and it blows up, I'm going to say, well, all right, well then never mind rocket building.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. That's a really good point. I don't know. I just hope that what I was hoping for in bringing this whole thing up is just to give people a little heart, you know? Because I get it a lot from people like, oh, I don't know if I should podcast. I can't get anywhere near, but how do you do it? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, there are people with way more numbers than me. And,
I'm glad that you brought this up because it's almost as if I paid you to plug one of my panels at DragonCon. This is the one that I came up with. Me and Veronica, and I'll see who else I can rope up there.
Veronica Belmonte. I know her. Yeah.
Belmont.
Sorry, French.
She's the one who comes on our Monday show, I believe.
Yeah. She comes in and talks about video games, and she's fantastic. But I
guys do a Monday show?
Yeah, we do a Monday show. Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, the whole week's.
I'm glad you guys expanded.
The jury's supposed to still believe that everything's Tuesday.
That's true. That's right. Yes.
No, welcome to our weekly.
Yeah,
our
work Tuesday Robert stream.
Right.
Also featuring Chinbeard. me and V and then who else, whoever else will be able to figure it out. We're going to do a panel called No One's Listening to Your Podcast, and that's awesome.
That's great.
It's all about just the value that you get in understanding that, like, there's real lessons to be learned in the sounds of silence.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee that Brian and Scott can tell you a million different very important things that they learned when there was 10 people listening to Coverville or
Extra Life Radio or whatever. Yeah. For sure, dude. Absolutely. Boy, that rings true in a big way.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's hard to be there. But for me, man, did I do better content and was I way happier in life and with my creativity and with my output? And I got way better, way faster as soon as I stopped worrying about where I was in the podcast hierarchy.
I'll tell you what, it's funny because if you do ignore that and you just put your nose down, you wake up to fun numbers that are kind of interesting, but then you got to go back to putting your nose down. So, for example, you'll wake up one day and go, when did I get, I'll just use a number, I mean, like if you hit 30K Twitter followers, you wake up and go, whoa, when did I hit 30K? I didn't even notice. That's awesome. And then you just keep moving. Yeah. And then you wake up one day, this happened 2 days ago, I hit 300,000 downloads a week for all the shows combined. And that's a huge number. That's a big number. Like, I'm super stoked about that number, but I wasn't tracking it. I wasn't looking at it all every day going, all right, let's get that number up. I mean, I know there's some value in tracking metrics and trying to, you know, achieve goals and whatever and try to reach certain things, but I never really thought about it very much. I was just busy making the shows themselves. And to see that number and go, whoa, that doesn't even count live views. That doesn't count half downloaded stuff on web pages. Like, to realize that you're actually hitting a thing that's significant is so much more satisfying when you weren't freaking nickel and diming that number for the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to explain, but man,
a lot
it just
of times
hits you.
It's the unforeseen, you know, like there was like, this is something that I lived in practice, you know, Night Attack and NSFW before it have never been big download numbers at all. Like they've been fairly paltry download numbers that would make a lot of people say, this is not worth the time or effort. But you know, the funny way that life works, next thing you know, you put together a Patreon and we are pulling in a higher amount than a lot of other podcasts and YouTube series that have a far more robust viewership or downloader.
Sure.
And that's like, wow, I didn't even know that number existed. And yet I'm very happy that we got here. I'm happy that we continued to pour effort and love into the podcast, even though, you know, there wasn't a lot of people. I'm glad that we focused on that audience instead of constantly trying to change the show and change what they love for the, you know, the mythical masses that are out there that would one day just pick up our show and love us. And we focused on the couple thousand people that did love us, you know,
growing out from there. Yeah.
And that started by focusing on the couple 10 people that loved us. And that focused on, you know, just me and Brian making each other laugh. Like it's like a fraction, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can never get to zero. There's always at least one person who enjoys your show, even if it's you. And you have to just keep building from there.
So I'm looking. So here's a good example. So this is what your brain will do. You can look at it two different ways. When I see
are we going to do the torture hour of looking at numbers to make ourselves feel bad?
No, see, here's the thing. So I'm looking at so for the last 7 days, 292,000 listens on all shows across the network. Number that's I'm very happy with. The only thing that hits me is not any kind of, oh, why aren't they higher? I'm really happy with that number. My frustration is I feel like I should be better at monetizing that number. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of people. It seems like we should more of them. How do I engage them more in a more personal way? Like, it's not just a money grab. I don't mean it in kind of that way, but I mean, how can I make them as dedicated as, say, this
How can I harvest them like grain for money so I can benefit and they can feel
like the people in the Tadpool? So dedicated. And I don't mean just in kind of monetary ways. I mean, they're people that are showing up to meetups. They're arranging things. They're doing things. They're sending Brian a coconut bra and a freaking grass skirt to dance in front of this Dice video. All these kinds of stuff. Right. So engaged. And so all that. Like, I'm more interested in figuring out how to get more engagement than I ever am to make that number bigger. Because numbers, there are plenty of big shows with huge numbers. And I've had conversations with people who, I don't want to give stuff away, but I've talked to some people with some very big numbers on things like YouTube and other places who are like, we would kill for the percentage of engagement you have versus the actual numbers you have. In other words, dude, you know.
And that's every conversation that we have is we have a bunch of other people that are really, really big and they're like, I would love, I mean, like the Diamond Club for whatever reason, and same with Frog Pants. There's a reason why we get along. There's a reason why the communities bleed over so much is because it's about the passion. It's about the community, you know? But I think part of that, you can't discount the fact that, and I would never say, you know, like, oh, I hate the idea of like, well, money's evil. And it's the absence of money things that creates, that makes the community strong. Because that used to be my, or a cousin of that argument, used to be my argument against Patreon. Not that I thought it was evil, but just that I really liked our engagement. I didn't want to jinx it. You know, I didn't want anything to possibly change it. And I was worried that with Patreon, there would be just us, like, that 5% more of like, well, I'm your boss and I thought this show sucked. Do more Captain Morgan, you know?
I'm paying for this.
Yeah. So
I worried about that too. I always worry about
that. And that has not been the case at all.
Yeah. Every Kickstarter, any of those kinds of things, or even me just putting stuff on the store, I agonize over, is that $2 too much? Is it like $1.50 too high?
It's because you think about it. If you think about it and you care about it, and the only time that you do it is when you know that it's something that you want to do, and you have an idea of what the audience is going to react to it. Everything counts. Your audience knows, even if you don't say it, like they know it by its absence. That you know you only have X amount of commercials, you know, or that you're not doing commercials for Adam and Eve, or that you know for anything, you know, you're not doing two posters a week to sell. You're not, you know, like. Some of these ideas might be good. Some of these ideas might be bad. But everything, all decisions that you make resonate, you know? It's like they say in the Red Letter Media reviews, like, you know, your audience might not have noticed, but their brains did. Like, you know, you get this subliminal kind of thought.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing, and to get that question the other day and then to kind of blow out the conversation and hear what people had to say on Twitter, I don't know. This is a fun discussion for me. That sounds like it's going to be a hell of a panel. You guys are going to do awesome with that. I'm stoked for you. That's actually a great book title. No one's listening to your podcast, and that's awesome.
I think it's like, it's called The Sound of Silence. Nobody's listening to your podcast, and that's awesome. Who knows if anyone's going to show up? I have no idea whether or not anyone's going to want to turn up to a podcast or to a panel to admit that their podcast is not being listened to. But I hope a lot of people.
Better yet, it's the no one shows up to your panel, and that's awesome is what you have to call it. I mean, you know, like if I always, every year I agonize about
To be fair, if it's just, like literally, and this is in the spirit of that, if it's just me and Veronica and Nicole Spagnolo hanging out and drinking Dharma Initiative, you know, since we'll have that extra stockpile since Chin Beer's not joining us, it'll be rad. I'll be very excited if it's just that and we don't do a panel.
That'd be a hoot.
Always look on the bright side.
Yeah, I guarantee you'll have at least two or three, but that's almost kind of the point, you know? It's like small audience.
The irony would not be lost on me. No. I would enjoy it very, very, very much if nobody showed up. And to be fair, considering how busy Dragon Con could be, if a panel turned out to be just a hang where you didn't have to be like doing a show, it would be amazing. Like, I'm already looking forward to the break I get during Dragon Con. So if there's an extra one, I'll be excited.
All right. Well, this has all been well and good. You got anything going on people should be looking at, watching, paying attention to? Jury Talks tonight. I know you got that.
So Jury Talks tonight. I'll tease the big segment. So I teased last week on the morning stream that I was going to talk something that I've talked about a lot, which was my thought that the college is a sham, or that college is more of a sham than you think it is.
Mm.
And
would you argue it's more of a sham now than ever? In other words, that sham's just gotten more shammy.
I think that there is an element of escalation to it, but my larger point is that I feel like the idea of you need to go to college to discover who you are is overrated
I agree with that.
By cultural deficiencies in self-esteem at large, and you have a lot of colleges that do everything to perpetrate this, to make sure that you pay them a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like they are the great benefactor in that. And I feel like, especially in the modern world, you can discover who you are and then go to college and, I mean, use college as a tool, you know, that you go there, you get skills, even if necessarily you don't use those skills forever, you know, at least you went in with a purpose and you came out with something, you know, instead of, like, I'm going to try and switch majors four times. And then, you know, you wind up coming out loving college because of a lot of things that are just really fun no matter what if you're in your early 20s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of fun things that happen in your early 20s. So,
it's funny because I feel like my daughter Carter is getting letter after letter after letter from colleges. It looks like she's going to pretty quickly and easily get a full ride somewhere.
Awesome.
Which is great. And I'm super stoked for her. But it's funny because I think I'm less excited that she's going to get this education and do it with so little burden, and more excited that we're somehow kind of screwing the system out of getting a bunch of money out of us. You know what I mean? It's weird.
No, that's very exciting. No, is she going to stay in state?
She's trying to decide. They have a really amazing program at Utah State and at the University of Utah that she would want to go into for, her major would be all kinds of art stuff and, you know, computer aided stuff and 3D animation and all this kind of thing. They've got great programs for all of that. And there are financial advantages to staying here if the full ride didn't come through, right? But if she gets a full ride somewhere else, you know, NYU or anywhere, and she's being courted by some crazy schools, that she'll probably go out of state, is my guess. That's my thinking. Because why wouldn't you? If you got a full ride to some huge art school somewhere and, you know, one of the coasts, there's no reason why she wouldn't go. But the idea that we could just hose them.
This is going to be that right there. That's the Empire Strikes Back to the Star Wars of Scott's daughters getting married. Is Scott's daughters moving out of state for college? In the grown man crying chronicles, this is truly going to be an epic of gigantic
proportions. The only other downside is her and I are doing so much collaboration now, Carter and I, where she's in my studio now. She sits over there and she's drawing all day. And this summer has been lots of art, lots of projects. I mean, she's doing projects, and she's got, it's basically a job now that made more money than my, you know, time at that crappy restaurant when I was 16. And she's doing it. We're doing a lot of it together. So there's a lot of sort of back and forth and collaboration. I think that she, part of her decision, it's going to be all her decision, but part of her decision may be partly based on, well, I want to keep doing this stuff with my dad at the same time. And if that's true, it may be more convenient to stay in state, or we could do a lot of this stuff remotely. But that's the thing I look forward to, is to figuring out how we can, you know, blow that up. Yeah. Cause it's been great. Like, it's unexpected, didn't see it coming, totally having a ball with it. And
well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Imagine we live in a different world in which college is looked at as not this thing that you do after high school if you're smart.
Kentucky. Got it. All right.
Right. but rather, get ready for the email, Scott. but rather, it's just a place where doctors and lawyers go. If you just need, you know, a further education, sure. You know, the idea of the rando liberal arts degree just doesn't exist.
Okay.
is it something where you know, now because you have an install base, people have fallen in love with Carter's art? And I count myself among that, because I oftentimes, whenever I think of any new project, now I'm like, oh man, I gotta get
Carter could do that cover for me.
To draw something, because now I really like the idea that I love my caustic personality having its first introduction to people with Carter's style of art, just because it's so,
which has that in that very
it's so innocent too, that I feel like it's so fun.
It's oil in your, it's, you know what, it's salt on your banana. It shouldn't be good, but it, man, is it good.
But yet it is.
Yeah.
Is it something where it would be like, all right, well, rad, like we are living an artisan lifestyle, and Carter would feel really awesome just doing this full time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
As soon as high school.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, whether, you know, look, if she gets an opportunity to go to some awesome school with incredible programs where she could really go crazy with this, because she's not going to find herself, and she's found herself. She's not that kind of kid. She doesn't care about any of that. So the pressures of high school have been completely wasted on her. Nobody's ever been able to do anything to her that made her go, oh man, I really wish I was with the cool kids tonight. She doesn't care. She doesn't care. They all want to kind of be with her as a result, which is funny, because they all sense that kind of weird confidence and they don't care. So anyway, the point is, if she went somewhere rad and had a full ride to do it, of course she's going to do it, because she's going to gain so much from that. But in a world where, you know, that mattered less, or, you know, the prospect was, oh, 100 grand in tuition or something, she is probably more likely to try to do something smaller in state, maybe still further education, but work with me in a full-time way. I'm sure of that. So we don't know. I mean, there's time. She's 17. We got time. But
where is she in the high school?
She's a
I have to start her senior.
She's
year,
starting
right?
her senior year next week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. No. So, that is the collegiate industrial complex is you know, runs hot. It starts halfway through the junior year when everybody, all the tweakers, are taking their PSAT coaching courses, and you know, and then all of a sudden it starts to get into that. At least it was for me, and I don't know. I would take a wild guess and say that it has continued, if not intensified.
Oh, for sure, it has. She's just so weird, because she just aced. This isn't just dad being cocky. She aced her ACTs, SATs. What are the ones that matter? I forgot. SATs.
Well, yeah, both of them. So the ACTs are the newer, and some would think to be more accurate standardized test. The SATs is the old standard.
Whatever the one is that everyone pays attention to, she just aced them without even really trying all that hard. And then she, you know, she's, again, not bogged down by any of the typical stereotyped high school stuff. She doesn't care about any of it. Like, none of that stuff. Like, cars are, she's not boy crazy. She'll go to dances, she'll go on dates, but she's not like constantly sitting by her phone waiting for a text to come through. She cared less about that stuff. In fact, half the time I got a reminder to take her phone places with her. She's just not interested. What she's interested in is drawing and creative endeavors, and she loves film, and she just wants to be around that stuff all the time. And she's kind of Bill Gatesing her 10,000 hour rule a little bit right now. Which is great, and I'm encouraging it. And while I'm not discouraging that other side, it just doesn't appear to be of interest to her. And so, you know, whatever she ends up doing, I'm behind it 100%. But when she graduates high school, she'll have an associate's degree already, because she's that far ahead right now. So she's
with like AP classes and stuff.
She'll be done with that. So she'll already be, you know, 2 years ahead on whatever else she does after this. So it's all good. Like, the only thing, so this is what's funny about my anxieties. I'm not worried about how she's going to do at all. Like, lifetime not worried. What I'm worried about now is all the dicks around her. All the people that are going to try to drag it down, give her a hard time. And honestly, things like, even just simple stuff like, it's all going a little too well. When does the shoe drop when she's in a car accident? Or, what, you know, like, dumb dad.
Jesus.
It's all dad anxieties, guys. It's all irrational dad anxiety. I get it.
Sure.
And it's totally bullcrap.
Why not a cool thing? Like, when did she get bit by a radioactive spider? Or, you know, when do her husband, her brother, and her dad's friend go across the sky and get gamma radiation and become the Fantastic Four.
Right, right. I should think more in those terms, perhaps. She'd even appreciate that. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird place to be because I knew she was different when she was born. Different in the sense that her emotional...
She was troubled when she walked in.
I knew that she... Okay, when she sees... I don't mean to go on this too much, but she'll see a movie like Up, for example.
Yeah.
And she is not afraid to just bawl her eyes out. Or yeah. When she's down for any reason, something's gone badly, or she's grumpy or whatever, she is emotionally healthy in that she's appropriately upset when she's supposed to. She's appropriately happy when she's supposed to be. She's appropriately moderate when she's supposed to be. And it's in her own terms. It's not like we're telling her when she's supposed to be that way. She just has this range of kind of normal reaction to everything. While me and the rest of us are just kind of, you know, like there's a lot of ups and downs with me. And, you know, I think Nick's got a bit of that. I'm certainly my oldest daughter. And Kim's probably the most stable of everybody. But Carter just walked away with like all the right bits in the right places. And she'd give two shits what jerks think about her. And, you know, some kid will bully her in junior high. She's like, all right, well, move on from that. That's not a friend I want to hang out with. How many other kids do that? Most kids just agonize and want to be in that group so bad and do anything to get there, and their grades suffer, and they'll try drugs or whatever early because, you know, that seems like that's cool because the kids want me in their group if I'm smoking with them. And
as opposed to trying drugs at the appropriate time.
At the appropriate time, right.
Right time to try.
You know, middle-aged women.
Right on time.
Yeah, when you got four kids and you can't handle it or whatever. But no, she just doesn't seem to have any of that stuff, and I don't know where it's all coming from. I think Kim mainly, but we're just trying to give her the room she needs to do whatever the hell she's going to do. I mean, I think she's my best chance at retirement, to be honest. If I'm being honest about it, that's how I'm getting out, you know.
I mean, Carter's amazing. Yeah. We won't be discussing Carter this much on the jury show.
Sorry. What the hell am I doing? You were giving us your pimp in here.
No, it was great. It was amazing.
Oh, geez.
No, I mean, like it's, you know, it's always so heartening. And I think there's a lot of different takes on the issue, on the whole college issue. And a lot of it comes from my own anxiety of that run up. You know, I was a far more nervous person than Carter was, and despite the fact that I went through the majority of my high school career kind of in this sort of outcast community, just for general knowledge, I was part of a Renaissance Recreation Society.
Oh wow!
That just went to Ren Fairs and built chainmail, and like that's the level of nerd in which I was, you know. And then all of a sudden I got, you know, just from the AP classes that I was in, kind of got swept up into the collegiate industrial complex. And all of a sudden it all became about SAT scores and admissions essays and getting your volunteer hours up because they need to be at a certain level. So it was a lot. And going to college kind of disabused me of a lot of ideas on what it was and what it was supposed to be and everything. And that's where a lot of these kind of thoughts sort of come from. And yet, after going on my big blowhard rant on the jury show last week, I got an email that totally shook me to my core.
Wow.
And made me question my convictions. And I will reveal that email tonight on the Jerk Show.
Dude, you're like, I don't know what kind of, that's the biggest tease I've ever heard. I don't even have a comparison. All other teases will be compared to this.
That's no Johnson, man. That's a jury, man. Yeah, you just pulled a jury.
Pulled a jury right out and waved it around.
Tonight, 7 p.m., I'll be live from a heretofore unknown hotel.
I've never heard of anything shaking you to the core. If this email did that, I'll probably have to tune in.
It was. And then it led to I was actually in L.A. at the time, and I was hanging out with Schwood, and it led to me and Brian dreaming up a possible four-book series.
Wow. Wow.
And I don't know whether or not we'll do it, because we are both very, very big on dreaming things and not so great at finishing them.
Sounds like my list.
Yeah, no, was a heady conversation, and it was really, really fun.
And they both ended up naked at SpaceX somehow. We'll get to that next week here on TMS. It's another tease with no actual payoff. like all the internet links I see lately. Anyway.
The SpaceX stuff. Yeah, I was at SpaceX. You can listen to the Weird Things podcast, the most recent Weird Things podcast. Me, Brian, Tom Merritt, and Andrew Main talk about being in SpaceX. Long story short, it was amazing. And I saw the future. And I walked into through the glass doors, and I saw this gigantic carbon fiber pillar thing that was leaning up against the wall, only to realize that was one of the landing gear for their reusable rockets. And it totally blew my mind that I was looking at quite possibly the greatest advancement in rocket technology since the rocket. The concept of the reusable rocket that will just completely change the game.
And they didn't stop you at the gate and say, "I'm sorry, no Unabomber beards allowed in the place." They were cool with letting you in as is.
I like the thing. This is like it's more conquistador than Unabomber. I'm gonna wax it up. It's gonna be pretty good.
All right, well, do check it out tonight. DiamondClub.tv 8 p.m.
7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern time for the jury talk.
Yeah, 8 p.m. Mountain, the only time zone that matters. Check it out, everybody. Justin Robert Young, thanks, man. Always a pleasure.
Adios.
Bye now. Jury. Bye-bye. Oh, he hung up before I had to hang up on him. That's fantastic.
Wow.
Oh, Brian, doing. We went deep today.
I know, it's actually TMS PM in some parts of the country.
It's way late.
Somebody pointed that out.
Thank you all for being so patient.
Sounds like you had some stuff to kind of get off your chest in that one.
Yes, I don't know. It's mostly good stuff. I mean, I'm excited for on the Carter end. I'm super stoked for all that biznatch. But this whole numbers game, I actually feel more comfortable with where I'm at with where I am than I have been maybe in the whole time I've been doing it. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how that compares to your Coverville trek all these years later.
I swear I don't pay attention to any of that. Like numbers, people ask, say, how many people are you pulling in per episode on Coverville these days? And I honestly can't tell them an accurate number. I there's nothing that I currently look at on a regular basis to see where I'm at. It's just I put together a show. I still get about the same number of emails per day about requests and labels and artists sending me their music. And,
what hurt me early on was the Instance had this big splash when it first launched, and it was because iTunes featured us and it went crazy. And then I was like, oh, numbers. And I started paying attention to that. But over the years I've gotten away from it, partly because they're not accurate anymore to some degree. Right. Like there is some measure, but there's a bunch you don't get counted for because there's so many ways for people to get our
streaming
crap now.
Services that don't maybe cash your show and
Stitcher doesn't even tell me. I don't know how many Stitcher plays I'm getting, but I know it's a lot. Right.
No, it's tough, and unfortunately, the place where it does come into play is with sponsors, because that's what they do want to know. They do want to know your numbers,
which is why we like Patreon so much, you guys. There's a level in there, by the way, that makes us ad free. I don't know if people knew that. You just get us there. No more ads on this show.
Exactly. I am in the process of developing I'm working on an outline for the long promised game show sampler.
Woo!
That's going to just push us over the top, that people are going to be like, how have I lived without this battle against the Frog Pants All-Stars game show for so long? And what do I need to make sure this happens?
Yeah. Patreon.com/TMS, you guys. Read all about it. In the meantime, we do have one more sponsor today. HelloFresh.com sponsored today's show. Go check it out. Make cooking fun again. Each week, their chefs make delicious recipes. You pick what you like, and the exact farm-fresh ingredients are sent straight to your damn door. Your damned door! Everything you need to make healthy, delicious meals in 30 minutes or less. Visit HelloFresh.com. See if they deliver to you. Use MorningStream for 50% off. That's MorningStream is your code when you check out as a first-time customer. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, Shwood. Jury and Bill.
Thanks, Shwood, for letting Jerry come on our show. How's that?
Big thanks. Yeah, we like that you did that. Don't forget, you can catch us live every morning, 8 p.m. or 8 a.m. rather, Mountain Time. Jeez, feels late.
We're approaching 8 p.m.
Yeah, we're getting there. Over at frogpants.com/live, you can also sponsor us and do some other things there as well at frogpants.com/TMS. The morning stream at gmail.com is our email address on Twitter. Morning stream, Scott Johnson in Coverville. All right, let's do some music. What the hell you got?
All right. This one comes from Ed Mitchell, who says, T-Talks and Nairb, I would like to request a song for the 18th of August, which is the first day I start working in the real world. Yeah, I know it was yesterday, but had no 19ths and had two, or had lots of 18ths that had to get to. Mm. After graduating college in May and having an entire summer off to have fun, including going intertacular the second time in a row, I now have to become a true adult. It's no such thing, man. No. However, while I'm nervous about this new chapter in my life, I'm also really excited, and I have a great support system through my family and friends and raid team. I'd like to request Playing for Change's cover of Stand By Me. This is actually a really cool deal where they have one person record a part of the song, then they play that to someone else, and they travel around the world getting people to sing a song. I recommend all of their songs. Thanks a ton. Love the show, though. Ed Adesis in the Tadpool.
All right.
Yeah, this is great. This Playing for Change started with this song, and they had a whole bunch of people around the world all contributing a part to this cover of Benny King's Stand By Me. And they released a second album, and I think they just released a third album. Usually get these at Starbucks. That's the only place I've actually seen the physical albums to pick up. So look for it there. Playing for Change is the group. And this is from their first album, simply called Songs Around the World from 2009. It is Stand By Me.
All right, here it is. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of the show. Bye.
This song says, no matter who you are, no matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you. My darling, stand by me, no matter who you are, no matter where you go in life, you gonna need somebody to stand by you, no matter how much money you got.
When the night has come and the land is dark and that moon is the only light we see, no, I won't be afraid, no, I won't shed one tear just as long as your people come and stand by me. Darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me.
Thank you. Thank you.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
You dick.